You're listening to the Bearded Theologians podcast, hosted by Zach Bechtold and Matt Franks. If you'd like to learn more about the Bearded Theologians, you can go online at beardedtheologians.com, where we have past podcasts, blogs, and a couple of items for sale. So check us out, beardedtheologians.com. Thank you for listening and enjoy this week's show.
You're listening to the Bearded Theologians podcast, hosted by Matt Franks
and Zach Bechtold.
So this week on the podcast, as we kicking off the new year, one of the questions that we kind of were kicking around this morning was talking about the phrase, you know, what is good news? Zach, as you hear that word good news, what comes to mind for you?
Yeah, I mean, for me, my theological basis of the good news of Jesus Christ is Christ's love and grace for all people. And I really stand by that being a theme in everything I do, in preaching and teaching and just the way that I live my life. But that's also a really generic and general term. You know, we were having this conversation before we hit record and in reclaiming some of the language and words that are very vital and robust in the church, in theology and in what we do. Good news being one of those. There has been a lot of just mistreatment of the idea of good news that, you know, the good news that I have for you is the only news, or is the right news. And if you don't believe the good news that I have, then you're not saved, you're going to hell. I mean, just a lot of really, you know, negative and hurtful and harmful things to follow. And so for me, the good news is very much hinged on the love and grace of Christ for all people. And that looks and sounds like a lot of different things. I think for me, the good news isn't just one thing. I look at it very distinctly Wesleyan, through our quadrilateral, through what does tradition say about the good news? What does scripture say? What does reason and experience say and lead us to understanding the good news? And I don't know that I can give anything but a broad answer until the situation calls for more or for something different. That it's very relational and situational as we're chatting with people in the ways that we do, whether that's somebody on their deathbed, the good news is different. It's hope of resurrection. It's hope of healing. It's hope of a lot of things, right? And experience God's love and grace through that journey in their life, as opposed to sitting in the bar with somebody who's questioning everything, you know, or is coming looking for an argument. What is good news? You know, I think it calls for different conversations as to what that looks like for those moments. And so I struggle just to put even a definitive statement of this is exactly what it is, right? Other than it's the love and grace of Christ for all people. But yeah, so nutshell it and get us started. What are your thoughts on good news?
I agree with you. And we definitely had talked about this before we had started. There definitely is some negative connotations to the word, and you and I come from a space that term has been manipulative.
Well, this is not the word I was going to use, but it was nicer. So
still trying to keep us from using the E thing
Understand.
On the podcast this week. We'd at least like to make it 2 weeks.
Right.
But it's one of those things that when I think of it, to me, when I hear that, like, what is the good news? I'm not gonna lie, as someone who loves the Gospel of Mark, it's actually the very first sentence of the Gospel of Mark, the beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, God's son, happened just as it was written about in the prophecy of Isaiah. And I can't quote the prophecy of Isaiah part, but that part is stuck in my head. I don't have a whole lot of scripture stuck in my head, but that is definitely one. And it's part of it is because for me, like when I hear the good news being used in a healthy way, it's going to point me to love.
Mm-hmm.
That the good news is that God loves us and God cares for us. Like, to me, that's what I hear. That's not been what my experience has been.
Right.
And I know you can definitely share as much as I can on that. And the question is, how can we reclaim that term good news in our world today? And what comes up to you as you think about that? Like, how could we reclaim that if we wanted to? Or,
well, I think that's, you know, this is the thing that we struggle with and just have a lot of personal conversations around, just you and I, and truly why we do the podcast, so that we can flesh this out. But how do we reclaim the terms that have caused, that are faithful and vital terms, but have caused so much harm? And like I said earlier, good news for a long time was used in a, well, my good news, you know, is the only good news. And yet there's just so much more nuance and reality to it than that. You talked about the Gospel of Mark, you know, kind of shedding light on it for you. I hear it in the Genesis story, right? In creation, as God creates and looks upon everything and said, this is good. I hear it in that. I hear it in the, you know, the birth narratives of Jesus. I see it in the disciples, right? When they're walking with Jesus and Jesus goes and feeds 5,000 and they're like, Jesus, when are you going to do the thing? Were you not there? You know, but just that room and that grace to ask the question, what is this? Jesus, what is this? What are we doing? Why is it? Throughout all of Scripture, we see that promise of grace, of hope, of not having to have it all figured out and it be one certain set way, but just this ability and permission to live into who we've been created to be and remembering that it is good. And how do we find the good news within that? Because it's going to be different. I truly think that's a different story for everybody. In how we see the good news play out in our own lives. And I think that's, to me, I find that really comforting and really challenging, but also just in the beauty in which we've been created to be as people, or as just the fullness of creation, right?
Yeah, and I really think that, to me, and I said this, like, good news is love.
Mm-hmm.
And that looks different for everybody. And there are healthy ways of love and there are definitely unhealthy ways of love. But when I think of it in a sense of using it in a term of a spiritual aspect of it, it really is the good news of Jesus, mm-hmm. that he came to love us and mm-hmm. to show us what love looks like. It's when God came to show us what love looks like. That's good news. Mm-hmm. Whether we practice it, it's a whole other thing.
Right. Right.
And I think that that's the thing is, let's jump back last week to Samuel and ask the question, are we listening? You know, mm-hmm. what are we listening to? How is that infecting our lives? And you and I know from firsthand experiences of having family members that watch a particular news agency that taints their worldview and doesn't, like, they don't look at anything else. And when there's a broader world out there, what does good news look like to someone who's been abused at the church? Mm-hmm. 'Cause that's something we have to wrestle with. Like, that is something that the church must work through. Like, we have to acknowledge that the church has done harm. We have mm-hmm. to acknowledge that sometimes our practices have, been a little bit manipulative and hurtful and harmful and not the way of Jesus and really jump back and asking ourselves that question, how are we being like Jesus? Like, I think that to me is, you know, it's the struggle of learning what the good news is. But I also think that at the crux of it, it's really about how do we share love mm-hmm. for me?
Yeah. And you're right. We have to own, there's a reason why when we do the communion liturgy, there's a confession and pardon. Forgive us, for we have not been obedient, right? We have not seen the needs. We have not seen our neighbors. You know, there's a reason why we do that. And almost every time we run through the full communion liturgy and have that confession and pardon, I have somebody go, yeah, but we did. And it's like, but we didn't. There's somebody we missed, right? Mm-hmm. There's something that we missed that we could have been a part of. And it's not a guilt trip to say that we got to do more. It's an honest confession of we have not loved with our whole hearts. And we have not shared the good news in a way that people could hear. And I think we have to have good news. We have to have those confessions. We have to have that forgiveness rather than, I feel like sometimes, when we don't acknowledge that we've caused harm as a church, we become that abusive boyfriend in 80s movies, right? Who just shakes people and is like, let me love you. That's not love, right? Yeah. Forcing people into that isn't love. It's carrying ourselves in a way that says, I can own that I didn't love fully. I can own that I didn't see people the way that you do. I can own all of this. Forgive me, we pray, because we're going to seek to do better. We're going to seek to love more and share this good news. And if the good news is ever forceful, I don't know that it's all that good news for anybody. And so I'm with you. There's a foundation of love there that's strong.
Well, and I think that that's what the good news is love. I mean, I've said that several times already, but I think that is, how's it pointing to God? Like, you know, what, you know, we use those stories to tell how God is at work in the world. We use scripture to show how God works in the world. You know, the struggle becomes, you know, the good news can sometimes also mean that idea of self-reflection and actually asking ourselves, are we being faithful? Right. And what does that look like? And I think that that's something that the church needs to do a little bit more of and dig a little deeper. I feel like that the church in some ways has been surface level, and not willing to, address the harms that it has caused. I've been reading up a lot lately, the last few years, on the boarding school situation and how the church perpetuated that, and just recognizing it and lifting up and saying, yeah, we now know that this was not a great idea. There are other things too. It was funny. I was talking with someone the other, a couple of weeks ago, about, the Crusades, and mm-hmm. they had just watched Kingdom of Heaven. and so that was fresh on their minds. I was like, well, the Crusades weren't actually really a good thing, right? And they weren't really successful at all, ever. None of them were. They all failed, all of them. And he's like, what, there was more than one? I was like, oh yeah, there were a ton. Mm-hmm. And so, like, we don't talk about that stuff. We don't talk about some of the harm we've caused other communities. And you see how the church came in to different communities and you know, thinking about the Salem witch trials, and sure, and a lot of that was to put down strong women, you know, and we have to wrestle with that. And so then the question becomes, is what does the good news look like as we wrestle with our own stuff? I think it's trying to, let's be very Wesleyan here. It is trying to love better, but you can't love better until you deal with the things that are holding you back from that strong connection to God. And that takes, that takes discipline, that takes a willingness to be open and honest. And you know, I think that that's something that as we wrestle with that, like, what does that look like? You know, and to me, that's the good news. We're willing to wrestle with, God, and willing to know that God's, love and grace is there for us to do that, that it's not a condemnation. It's not you can't ask that question. Like, I can't tell you how many times when I was a kid, when I would go to my friend's Sunday school classes and I'd ask a question like, oh no, you can't ask that question. Or, you know, you can't say that. And it's like, but I want to, or I've got questions and they need to be answered. And so wrestling with the good news is that God's going to be there and listen and love us and care for us. To me, that's the good news.
Mm-hmm. It is. And that's, there's, like we said, there's a billion different ways that we have defined that as a church and as people. And I don't know. I mean, it's just, it's one of those things. Like, if it sounds like good news, it sure as heck better look like good news, right? And if we aren't, like I said, if we aren't willing to take a step back as the church, as pastors, as people, and evaluate what the good news we're trying to share is, and if we can't be objective, if we can't say, ooh, here's where I missed the boat, then maybe our news isn't all that good. And there's, I guess what we're trying to encourage ourselves and you all listening to do is take a step back. Just like we asked the question last week, where do you see God at work in your life? Take a step back and ask yourself the question, what is the news I'm sharing and is it good? Is it reflecting who God is to creation? That'd be the question I'd ask.
Yeah, I think that's a good question to wrestle with. And so as we enter into, now we have a new segment, and I guess we should create segment music for this or have something for it. as we move into our new segment of something we're trying for this year to hold ourselves accountable, I think in all honesty, of paying attention to where God is at work. God, Zach, I almost called you God. Zach, where did you see God at work this last week?
We started since I got here, or shortly after I got here to Bozeman, we've been talking about a second service and what that might look like in the future and hoping and dreaming for it. And this last Sunday we started that, we had our first one this past Sunday, and it was miserably cold outside and snowy and delightful Montana winter weather. Which, you know, Montanans are hardy folks, but they also are smart and will stay home when it's dangerous. And we had 45 or so people show up for that service, and it was fantastic. It was a great, it felt really good to see something that we'd been hoping and dreaming for come into reality. It is still very scary, not knowing exactly what it's going to be and if anybody will show up next week. It's so much different than our regular 9 o'clock service, knowing that, hey, people are going to show up. They've been showing up for generations, but this is new and different. And hopefully we keep doing the right things and making space for people. And so it was really good. It was really good to see that and kind of see some of still some insecurities and uncertainties about it, but see a lot of that melt away of, okay, we're doing the right things here and hearing where God's calling us to go and meet people. So it was really cool. That's, I don't know. It's just been trying to hold in my excitement about it because I don't want to get hurt.
You're taking a risk, which is a good
yes.
thing.
Yes. Risk taking is always good.
You're being, I'll even go more lectionary for this week. You're definitely being a little bit Jonah and stepping out of the well and being willing to do the thing.
Right.
And so good job.
Yeah, it's good stuff. So it's fun to see, just to see where the Holy Spirit's calling us and joining them in that and see it work well. So it's fun. How about you, Matt? Where have you seen God at work this week?
So since our summer series, like since our summertime, we have a young woman in our congregation who is blind. And one of the things unbeknownst to me that she was doing was for the traditional service outdoors, I was putting all the lyrics on the page for everybody. So we don't have to have hymnals down at our outdoor chapel. It's a huge hassle. And so, what she was doing with that was putting it in her little machine, and she was able to know what hymns and stuff we were singing. So she's able to participate in worship, all of it, liturgy and everything. And so about halfway through, or about probably a couple of weeks into the new, when we moved back indoors, she sent me an email and asked me if this would be a thing. Like, could I make this a normal thing? And so for the last, gosh, it's been at least for half of the year, every Sunday I provide her with the lyrics of the music and the liturgy so she can hear it and be a part of worship. But what touched me this last week, and people found out and have been singing my praises about it. And it wasn't one of those things I wanted done. Like, I just wanted it to be down on the down low. And it was something I was trying to do because mm-hmm. that's the way I share love, is to try to bring everybody to the table. Mm-hmm. And this last Sunday, you know, it was thin Sunday because the weather wasn't that great. But I could hear her praying the Lord's Prayer. Mm-hmm. And to me, that just hit me and gave me all the feels. Mm-hmm. To me, it was definitely a glimpse of what the kingdom can be, being a space where all can be a part of worship. Mm-hmm. And that just hit me, mm-hmm. and it resonated with me for the first time. Not something I had really, you know, I just did it because it's how you share love, but to actually hear it was a whole other thing.
Yeah, that's cool. I love that.
So for those that are listening, we want to encourage you to go to our website at beardedtheologians.com and check out all of our great now 8 years worth of material. Feel free to listen to a whole bunch of things that we've got going there. We've got a lot of great stuff, a lot of great interviews and a lot of great conversations over the last few years. Feel free to check back on those. Don't be afraid to get your special loved one a Bearded Theologians hoodie or t-shirt. What a great way to share Valentine's Day than to buy a Bearded Theologians t-shirt, in my opinion. And you can do all that at beardedtheologians.com. So for the Bearded Theologians, I'm Matt Franks.
I'm Zach Bechtold. Thanks for checking us out.
Guys, I want you to subscribe and like this video. And push that thumbs up.
Thank you for listening to the Bearded Theologians podcast. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share on all social media outlets. You can check out old episodes and more information at beardedtheologians.com. Thanks for checking us out.